Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We are getting an update from Metalla Royalty and Streaming, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol MTA, and on the NYSE, also under the symbol MTA. We are chatting with the president and CEO, Brett Heath. Now, Brett, it's been a while since we last had you back on the show, and I really do want to get a general update in terms of some of the growth profile coming from Metalla in the near term and over the next couple of years. But first, quick comments on the markets. There's no denying that precious metals stocks, both large and small, have been hit fairly hard. The large companies, though, were very much bucking the trend, seeing more money flow in. The question I have for you, though, is as a royalty company who already has a number of assets, some of which producing, a number of them that are in the growth pipeline, how does this market impact somebody like Metalla? What can you give us in terms of a general update and how the market is influencing what you guys are doing?
Thanks, Corey. So what we're seeing is really just a risk off across the whole entire stock market in various different sectors. I mean, even big tech, we've seen, if you look at performance of Facebook, Google, Netflix, Amazon over the last 30 days, they're all off, around 20%. Sometimes some are over 20%. And we've seen the same thing in the gold sector. There's just been a risk off movement that's obviously been driven by the narrative, mainly from the Fed on kind of more tighter policies expected. And we see that really affecting the market as a whole. And what that typically does is it provides some really incredible opportunities. One thing that we noticed within the gold sector was a massive divergence. I mean, we rarely see these types of divergences. And, a few weeks back, we saw actually a lot of the larger major gold companies make a pretty significant move higher. And it was actually, we thought it was a pretty intriguing sign that there may be a bull, like a much broader kind of breakout ahead of us. We saw Newmont break out to all-time highs. We saw Royal Gold, break out to all-time highs. These are typically strong indicators that you get kind of the sector to follow. But none of those capital flows really made it down to any of the smaller companies. I mean, smaller still hundreds of millions, kind of sub-billion-dollar market cap companies that a lot of them are, in the GDXJ. GDXJ saw very, very little inflows. I spoke to about a half dozen fund managers in the gold sector, also saw very, very little inflows. At the same time, we saw some very significant moves in the majors. And so that was kind of a divergence we were paying attention to, where, we had this opportunity. Now, since then, there's been a big reversal. There was a reversal kind of in the gold price. We saw, reversal in kind of this risk off mode and everything else. And so now there's just this opportunity where you had, a lot of the juniors that weren't really kind of fully there to participate in the capital flows. It just kind of didn't all the way flow through, feeling kind of that same risk off mode. And it's just providing for some unbelievable entry points, across the sector for the gold companies.
Well, Brett, one of the value propositions that royalty companies offer is that they don't have the same carrying cost and the same labor cost that a lot of the mining companies do, but they have these baskets of royalties like Metalla does that are only growing in value as companies continue to develop their projects, continue to drill, continue to move the ball down the field towards production. So it'd be great to get just a general overview of the basket of royalties that Metalla holds, how many are in production, which ones are moving down the field towards production. Just give us a quick snapshot of the basket of value that Metalla has created over the last 6 years.
Yeah, so we've been very, very hard at work over the last 6 years assembling this portfolio. And I mean, the interesting thing is when I take a step back and look at the last 6 years, I see multiple times where the stock price or the share price was in little spouts of euphoria. And I see also multiple times where there's been, heavy capitulation as, the markets, they move up, they move down, nothing goes in a straight line. We did have the first kind of 5 years straight advances higher, and then this last kind of year and a half, we've been in kind of a heavy consolidation with the general markets. But the underlying business has always remained the same. I mean, we look at this, obviously we pay attention to where the share price is, and we obviously work very hard in bringing in transactions that add value, but I mean, the market's going to kind of do what the market does, and a bit of it is out of our control. But the actual core business, what we've been able to build over the last 6 years, has really been consistent all the way along. We've done 27 acquisitions. We've acquired 70 royalties. You know, every single one of those has been on an accretive basis, and we've just slowly built value. Now, you know, what we've done that was a little bit different than the rest of the companies out there, I would say, is that we really had a focus on not only high quality growth, but we wanted to make sure that the assets that we owned these royalties on were of the highest quality, the best operators on the most proven geological trends. And why that's important is because, you know, the market discounts royalties in the future pretty heavily, I think, across the sector, not just with Metalla, but across the royalty sector. But, you know, all future growth is not created equal. And if you look at the bulk of our growth, there's very, very little risk that these assets don't come to production. They're being advanced by the largest companies that have the expertise to execute and build these mines. They finance these things organically. They have the cash on the balance sheet. The assets are very material parts of these majors' pipelines. They have to replace all these ounces. And so when you look at it from that perspective, like, usually the reason why these assets are discounted so highly is because, you know, it's hard to build a new mine. And there's oftentimes lots of risk that mines never go into production. And, you know, our portfolio, I think, much more than what is typically seen in the sector from the development asset perspective, we've got very, very, very low risk that these assets don't go into production. So when you think about that, you know, if the risk of these really incredible development assets that are growing, you know, every single year, obviously, on the back of these major companies spending millions and millions of dollars, advancing them, drilling them, and so forth, you know, we get kind of a double bump. We get the value of these major companies really investing all of this capital into these different assets. I mean, you look at a royalty like we have on Fosterville, you know, Agnico, which used to be Kirkland here. I mean, they spent $60-something million on that last year. They're going to spend way more than that this year drilling. Nico Eagle spending, you know, tens of millions of dollars on a few different assets that we have and so forth. And we see this in pretty much the bulk of our pipeline. And so, you know, holding these royalties, you know, you get really the benefit of the growth and you get that time value bump, and it's zero cost to our shareholders. And so when you look at that and you look at really what that is going to capture over the next 3, 4, 5 years, as all of these assets that we have are advancing. I mean, this is Côté Lake, which is going to be one of the largest gold mines in Canada, Amalgamated Kirkland. This is really one of the highlighted synergies within the Kirkland Lake, Agnico merger, Tocantinzinho. You know, this is G Mining's, number one asset that they're advancing at a very quick rate, you know, already expanding the resources there and the reserves by, I think, 20% or so. Castle Mountain, this is going to be one of Equinox's flagship assets. I mean, these are big companies. Wasamac, you know, Yamana has already come out and said that they're confident at a very minimum Wasamac is going to be doing about 200,000 ounces a year for 15 years. They're tying up land around it. It may even be more than that. So, I mean, these are very, very significant assets. Like I said, Fosterville, 50 Mile Street, Santa Gertrudis, Garrison, these are all multi-million ounce assets. Del Carmen, one of Barrick's kind of key development assets in Argentina, and so forth. And so we've got so many of these things that are just advancing at just really an incredible rate on the back of these major companies spending, you know, combined really hundreds of millions of dollars every single year, advancing them. And, you know, our shareholders are going to benefit from this. And so, you know, it's really interesting to see kind of the markets moving, you know, in either up or down, you know, based on kind of macro factors. But, you know, the investors that really can kind of tune out this noise, and this is kind of the similar situation, I think, that people saw back in March of 2000, right? Like there was the whole kind of pandemic crash, risk off, everybody was selling everything. You had just ultimate retail capitulation. We're seeing really kind of, I think almost more capitulation across the retail investment sector now than even then. And, you know, people are just, they kind of just go in risk off mode. And that's the time where you go in and buy the stock. That's the time, you know, in March of 2020, where, you know, people that paid attention, very smart investors came in, they were able to pick up Metalla at, you know, $4 Canadian to watch it, you know, run all the way up to 16, you know, later that year. So, I mean, what I can say is that, you know, the portfolio that we have and the assets that we've bought just in the last year support a valuation, we believe, way higher than that. And, you know, I think here's another opportunity, you know, right in front of people's eyes to be able to step in.
Okay, now I think you outlined very well some of the well-known projects that you as a team, as a company, hold royalties on. Can you just simplify the number for us, though, Brett? How many are in production now? How many do you think will be in production, say, later this year? And then 2 years out, how many more in production without taking into consideration any potential acquisitions that could come?
So we have five producing assets right now. And, you know, all those assets are you know, doing very well. We also have two more assets that will be in production that are coming online in the second half of this year. Some probably in the summertime here, maybe, with the Beaufort royalty and also El Realito, which is part of the La India mine. So those are two that will be added in production, kind of increase our producing profile from 5 to 7 by the end of this year. We're you know, expecting Côté to likely come on towards the end of 2023, Amalgamated Kirkland also probably by the end of 2023, and then a whole bunch of others, you know, kind of in the 2024 to 2026 timeframe. That would be Tocantino, Santa Gertrudis, you know, potentially Garrison, Wasamac, Fosterville, 15 Mile Stream, and like I said, many others that are kind of right behind that. And, you know, we'll be able to give some more hard figures on kind of what our assumptions are on those when those companies kind of give updated guidance on when they expect those things to be in production.
Okay, Brett, we'll wrap it up here. Thank you for this update. As I mentioned on the onset, I really did just want to get you on here just to remind everybody the position that Metalla is in and the unique nature of royalty companies where it is not so cash intensive, such as an explorer, developer, any of those kind of companies. So if anybody wants any more information on any of the royalties or anything within Metalla and their asset base, feel free to email us either fleck@kereport.com or shad@kereport.com. We will follow up with Brett on the back of some more news and some financial results. But in the meantime, Brett, please keep us up to date on news. And thank you again for the update.
Okay. Thanks so much, guys.